gentlemen. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, one good show amidst a bunch of other shows here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I've got Nate in the studio with me.
That's right. I'm here.
There he is. Again. And Tracy, of course, running our boards. Hi, Tracy.
No one cares about me.
Say hi. You don't have to be shy. All right, so today we have an excellent show. We have Rob Smith, the editor-in-chief from Official Xbox Magazine. He will be calling into the show very, very shortly. And if you want to call and ask him questions, ask me questions, bitch about whatever you want, that's fine. 602-277-KFNX is the local number. And if you're on the internet listening, go to chatterboxgameshow.com, and we have an 800 number for you to call in.
You can move now.
So anyway, give us a call if you're interested. So this is the story. This week, we're going to E3. Tomorrow morning, I leave bright and early, head out to the Sony press conference, get to hear all about the PS3, which they claim they're going to talk about. Then I go down to Microsoft's press briefing and try to sneak in because they said they don't want me there. And then Tuesday morning, yeah, can you believe this? Sony's the tight-lipped ones, and they're like, yeah, sure, come on down. We got you on the list. Microsoft said, nah, no. No, Microsoft of all people.
Your media.
I understand that, but apparently I'm not big enough media.
Well, they probably saw you putting out your own flyers at the GDC to listen to your radio show, so.
No, man, we love Microsoft. You know why?
Because they gave you a TV.
Yeah, how can you not love them?
They give me free stuff. That's the reason to love them. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what their issue is. Nintendo and Sony have no problem. Hell, I even got an invite to that big Sony party they do at E3, so I don't know what Microsoft's problem is. But anyway, Tuesday morning, we go to the Nintendo press briefing and hear about this new Revolution stuff. Now, I don't know about the two of you, but this morning, I learned a lot about, well, not a lot, a little bit about the Nintendo Revolution. Apparently, there's been a little bit of news. I guess maybe because, like, the MTV Microsoft thing, Nintendo thought they should throw out a little bit of bait to all the people watching the chat rooms and everything to learn a little bit more about their new system. And so they said it's going to be really small, like the size of a few DVD cases stacked together. It's going to be fully wireless. It's going to be backwards compatible. So they try to get people excited by giving, like, two little tidbits about the machine. But to me, this sort of, like, solidifies what I had predicted earlier. I don't know if you guys listened to the show or if you were maybe in the studio.
I might have been in.
When I talked about what I thought the next Nintendo was going to be, how I said it's basically going to be a GameCube with, like, some souped-up specs, right? And I still think that, because now they said they're going to have this super small system, and new technology is never super small, as proven by the first PlayStation, which then turned tiny in the PS1, and the PlayStation 2, which then turned tiny in the PS2, right? The new Xbox is just as gigantic as the first one. So anyway, I said that the new Revolution is just going to be a GameCube with, like, cooler peripherals, and maybe some more RAM or something. And now they say they're going to have a system like the size of the PS2, the tiny PS2, and it's going to be backwards compatible with the GameCube. So all of this says to me it's going to be a GameCube, maybe with some extra specs. So we'll find out hopefully soon, although they didn't even say that they're going to tell us the truth or give us all the info at E3 this week.
Is it just me, but I don't care about a small system. Unless it's a handheld system, then smaller the better. But if I'm not moving it everywhere, why do I care about the size?
Well, you know, it's a big thing in Japan for everything to be small. Like, VHS never caught on there. They used video CDs. And one of the reasons, I think, is because they were so much smaller. Even, like, their GameCube, right? It's the same system, same size, but the cases, the games that you actually buy in the store, are, like, a third the size of the cases in the games you actually buy here in America.
They probably just have them bigger here, so it's more difficult to steal, but that's just...
You ever see those cameras? Sony right now is advertising their new Digicam thing, which is, like, the size of a credit card or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I saw that.
Right? I want one of those.
Japan is all about being tiny. Like, the people, the products, everything. Sushi. It's all small over there. And actually, the fad's hitting America now with the LCD TVs and the slim DVDs and everything, right?
Well, there's certain things, yeah, I can kind of understand, but my gaming system, if it's as big as my bed, I don't care as long as it can fit under my bed and it rocks.
I see what you're saying, but a lot of people now also bring it into their cars, you know?
Well, yeah, but...
Portability is it's a big thing.
I don't think so. I'd rather have virtual reality that takes up one whole room of my house.
Yeah. No, I got to be honest. Like, I'm with you there. I don't care how big it is. I mean, within reason, you know, as long as it fits in my stereo system setup thing. If it fits in the entertainment center, I'm fine with it. But the fact that they're saying it's small to me proves that it's not a big leap technologically, which again is fine with me, because I think they're whatever they're doing with the system, I'm sure is going to be amazing, because Nintendo has yet to fail me. I even like the Virtual Boy, so all you guys.
You would.
Who?
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, it's funny because every time before Nintendo brings out something, people, they complain that they don't know enough. They complain that it's not going to be this amazing thing. And then as soon as it comes out, like as soon as they announced what the DS was, and as soon as they showed off the Nintendo 64, like every time they're always like, okay, wait a minute. No, it is awesome. Whatever Nintendo did was awesome. Electroplankton's coming out, and everybody's amazed at this new thing, which isn't really that new, but it's just presented in a new way. And Nintendo always does great stuff, and so I have faith in them. They're going to produce something great, even if it's no better than a GameCube when it comes to the circuitry. Anyway, before we go to break, and before we start with our interview with Rob Smith, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Microsoft thing that happened this week. On the 12th, that was Thursday night, MTV, they unveiled their new Xbox 360 on MTV. You watched this thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. If you could call it an Xbox, you know, unveiling.
Yeah, it was ridiculously bad. And if anybody goes to the website, you'll see my small commentary on how ridiculous it was. And, like, I was prepared. This is exactly what I say on the site, or almost. I was prepared for it to be crap, because you expect it at this point.
Yeah, I kind of assumed it would be something. I thought there was going to be a lot of, you know, bands and, you know, a lot of celebrities telling me what's it about, but just the fact, the lack of any real information on
it. It was like the Spike TV Game Awards. I said, okay, this is going to be a bunch of crap. I still wanted to go, right? I still wanted to see it, but I was very confident that it was going to suck complete balls. And of course, it did. And so this thing that happened Thursday night with the Xbox 360, I was ready for it to be horrible. And what is great to me is that they completely exceeded my expectations of producing crap. MTV is incredibly capable at producing junk, and I want to applaud them for having that ability, because even I would not have imagined putting on a 30 or 22-minute show across the globe, really, because they're airing it in Europe, too, and Asia, right? Putting on this big show and then not talking at all about what the content of the show is about to be. You know, they said, this is going to be the Xbox 360. They showed a picture of it, and then they showed a bunch of people standing in a room playing a video game system without even putting the camera on the system.
Yeah.
They didn't put the camera on the controllers. They didn't put the camera on the television to see what they were playing. They showed Wilder Valderrama from the 70s show. They showed some really big game player geek guy playing and talking to each other. And half an hour of that, like, it's great. But I love MTV. They keep me thin because they make me want to vomit.
But the Killers played a couple times.
The Killers did play, and that was a lot of Xbox 360, watching people play the guitar. I was amazed. So anyway, like I said.
That's what your life is going to be like when you buy one of these things.
You're going to be hanging out with TV stars that used to date Lindsay Lohan. That's what they're trying to tell you.
Oh, that would be nice. So one thing, like, I got to hand it to Microsoft here. What they did was they produced a little bit of hype.
Yeah.
A little is maybe the wrong word. They've had a lot of hype this whole past month. They've completely succeeded. And like I read in Penny Arcade, they said that wasn't geared towards us. Right?
Oh, yeah. We were not the target audience for that.
They knew that I already knew everything about the system with all their leaks that they, I'm sure, didn't mind, you know, got out. And they had these videos that they put out online for people like me to go and watch that actually talked about the innards of the system. They talked about the water cooling and the three hyper-threading processors in the system and all the RAM and the teraflops and the giga everythings. Right, so that was geared towards me. So they got media out to me. They got media out to the zombies who watch MTV all day. They've got... they haven't really hit the parents yet. I guess that'll happen with television later.
Yeah.
But, like, they're really getting at all the different audiences here to make sure that everyone knows the Xbox 360 is
the next system. Well, you know, it's not even really a game, you know, system that much anymore, because they added all this extra stuff on it. It's like a Wi-Fi. And,
yeah, see, I read the article that said that, too, and that's complete bull. If it weren't a game system, it wouldn't sell to anybody, because people already have computers. This isn't a computer by itself, right?
Yeah, true.
In order to use all the stuff that it can do, you need to have a computer as well. And, like, you could also go online with it and download whatever music and videos I'm sure will be in the marketplace, but then you've got to have your wireless router and your internet connection. But who the hell is going to buy an Xbox instead of a PC if what they want is all that stuff, right? It's not going to be nearly as capable. So gaming is still the backbone of this system. I guarantee it, even though I haven't, you know, even held the thing. But I read that article. I don't even remember who's...
like a couple of people have been saying it.
But that's bull. It's a video game system. thick and thin, and then they put a bunch of other stuff because, like, in 10 years, they want to have the set-top box that does everything. They want to, like, wean people into the home media concept. And I'm all for it because I'm that geek guy who loves it. But I also spoke to a professor at UAT recently, and he was telling me, well, like, nothing new, but just discussing the issues that it's going to have, how they're producing all this, you know, customization in the system and all this home media and all this stuff that he says, like, 2% of the users are actually going to use, but they put so much effort into this part of the system that he thinks it'll be a big waste of their time. And also brought up the very valid point that I'm sure you've thought about too, Nate. Like, they have the most powerful home computer ever.
Yeah.
At least by this Christmas it will be. Like, I don't have a triple hyper-threading processor PC
at home. Oh, no, neither do I.
Right? I don't have the video card that's going to be in that thing. And so this is going to be the most powerful home computer that you can buy, and it can't be more than $400.
Yeah.
$400 is already pushing it. $300 was too much when it happened. And they're going to push it up another $100 at least. If they push it up anymore, no one's going to buy it. And I don't know what, I don't know how they plan to do it. They're going to lose so much money.
But it's Microsoft. They can stand to lose a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, but their business model, right, the first time with the Xbox, they said, okay, we want to try and break even, but what we want to do is be a contender this generation, right? And they didn't have much expectation of actually making money, although they did recently make money one quarter.
Yeah, they did one quarter. They were up.
And then went right back down. That was totally because of Halo 2. But with this next generation, their plan is to become the market leader and make money. And I don't know how they're going to do it with the with the technology that's in the system, but I will be happy to go buy a completely underpriced piece of hardware come November. I'll be proud to do it. And hopefully people will, like, take the chips out of it and throw it in their Macs and have a really powerful system that has nothing to do with the Xbox. That'll be nice. All right, so anyway, we're going to go to break in just a minute. Want to remind everybody, we've got Rob Smith, the editor-in-chief of Official Xbox Magazine. That's the one with the Xbox demo in it every month. All right, so stay tuned for that, and make sure you call in at 602-277-KFNX, or check out our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. We've got an 800 number for you to call and chat with all of us. So we will be back in just a few minutes.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Hello, everybody. So I'm writing an email right now. I say, hey, I'm here on the air right now with no guest, and he's not answering his home phone. This is the PR person who said we're going to have a guest today. Please let me know what happened. Alon, host and producer of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. All right, well, my job's done. Who wants to go home? Anybody? Anybody?
As long as you convince the people to let me go home, we're cool.
Yeah, what's the deal here? Like, am I required by contract to fill my show just because I came here today? Is that, we can't, like, throw on another show, right?
Well, I could always just leave my mic on and just talk about porn or something for an hour.
Yeah, have we done that in the past? I think usually we...
I think that's a standby when we don't have a topic.
We have nothing to do. All right, but luckily a lot's been going on, and so we can fill this time. I just want to take time to apologize. I noticed this week we actually have podcasters, people listening to this show. I think more people listen to the show on podcast than listen live through the internet, although it's hard to get people to listen live over the internet.
Well, it's the time, you know. Like I said before, if there was a way, like if you would come to my house and like turn on the computer and set it up all for me, I'd listen on the internet.
If I personally visited every listener and turned on their computers for them, then they would listen. I think you're right. I think that would be possibly a more efficient way of, or the most efficient way of getting people to actually listen to the show.
I think podcasting's great because you download it, you listen to it on your convenience, and especially just think if you have a long commute somewhere, chatterbox in your ear the entire time.
That's exactly what they say. Yeah. And now I had a point though. My point was going to be that we have this surge of listeners now, and as soon as we do, I start dropping guests like flies, like bad habits. Oh, we're going to have these guests on. Yay for podcasting. I'm so glad you guys got to hear this awesome show, right? And then they don't show up. Yeah. This happened like a month ago. The same friggin' thing. Anyway, I'm going to stop whining about it. Sorry, guys. Let's talk more about games.
Penny Arcade people. It's,
that was a year ago. Forget that.
Yeah, but it's an epidemic with the show.
Oh, I don't understand what happened.
You lose co-hosts.
I got Sony to like me. How did I get Sony to like me and I can't get editors from Xbox Magazine to call in?
The funny thing is, as much as we rip on EA, at least they're here when they say they're going to be here.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I haven't ragged on official Xbox Magazine, so they have no reason to dislike me.
Well, I know, but it seems like we have to rip on them for them to show up on the show.
All right, well, I had some things I did want to talk about anyway, so we'll go into this. I was reading, as always, more articles about the industry and the impending doom, right? We had talked about this after the GDC. Warren Spector had been fairly vocal about where the industry is going.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, he's one of the more vocal fellows. And I think what happened is he earned a respected position, right? So he can speak his mind without fearing a lot of retribution, right? Because he's one of the head guys. Although, to be honest, I don't really play any of the games that he makes. Like, I played Deus Ex 2 and whatever. But in general, his games aren't the ones I play. But I've got to respect the guy because other people seem to like his games, and that's all that matters.
Pretty much, yeah.
So anyway, he repeated in a CNET article things that he said at GDC, or at least along the same vein, saying that there's this Hollywoodization that's going on in the industry, and it's going to hurt innovation, it's going to hurt small developers. Overall, it's going to hurt what has made gaming great, what you know we love about it. And I've got a few things to say about it. Like, first of all, I guess I don't know where these stats came from, but they said that development of games has gone up, like, with each new generation, it's gone up by, like, 50% the cost. So, like, Nintendo and Super Nintendo weren't even, like, hitting $1 million, or were hitting just over that for the big games. And then they went up to, like, you know, between 3 and 10 million for this generation as it's gone up. And now this next generation is going to be, like, between 5 and 15 million, some games hitting, like, $30 and $40 million in production costs, which is absurdly high, right? It's approaching Hollywood costs of making games. And so he says, how can anyone who has a fun idea but not a lot of money behind him, you know, if he doesn't already work for EA, how is he going to come out with this big idea and get it on a system, right? What does he do? And so I'm wondering, like, is this whole I don't want to repeat the word so much, but I don't have an alternative, right? This Hollywoodization, this big business evolution of game development, do you think maybe it's just because of American vanity, right? Because we care so much about appearance, so like we go for the graphics, and that's really what I think drives the cost of games, having all the artists, right?
Well, that's good, because I want to do that, so I hope this keeps going. But, well, I think, you know, they make these, you know, big machines that, you know, they can push a lot of pixels and stuff like that, and companies, they want to make the most out of that.
Yeah, but there's games in Japan, like any quirky game we get is usually out of Japan. Like Katamari Damacy came out of Japan, and you know what happened with that? It didn't have spectacular graphics at all. It could have run on a PlayStation.
Wasn't the guy's head like a triangle or a box or something?
It was pretty close to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not trying to criticize. Like,
it was a good game.
I've always loved those quirky Japanese games, and I've imported quite a few because that's my style. I like that. I just like seeing weirdness. And that's what comes out of Japan. But very few games have come over to America. because they don't think they'll work. They don't think it'll actually make any money. And what bothers me is that it's already made for Japan. Like, it doesn't add any development costs. It doesn't add a lot of money at all to at least release a quirky game over here that's already been made. And I wish they did that a little bit more and at least give us the option, even if we don't like it. Well, then you didn't lose too much, right? But with Katamari, it proved to be really successful. So I think partly it's due to American vanity, right? That the budgets have gone so high because there is still this market in Japan, which proves, you know, that it exists. I mean, it wouldn't continue to exist if nobody was making money on it. And all the costs that go into the new systems, at least in the technology, like, it's all the push graphics, you know, push more pixels and more vertices and all that junk.
Oh, exactly. Right?
It's not, I mean, there's a lot of new programming that goes in because we're adding physics and we're adding the programming for handling all of the objects in the game. But really, like, the game idea, like, I don't think there's been all that much new that would mean, okay, instead of having six programmers, now you need 50, right? It's all about the artists. And there's been some musicians, too, getting in on it. But, like, it's all about the art side. And, you know, that equates to visuals, obviously, and that equates to us wanting pretty graphics. When clearly it's not completely necessary to have graphics in the game. People have said this from day one, but I think this is the issue. And so Warren Spector should mention that and say it's because we're jerk-offs and all we care about is graphics and games. And when a game comes along that doesn't have great graphics but has fun gameplay, it still can succeed. And it doesn't need to be a $30 million machine that he's saying is what's going to be necessary to push games. Anyway, that's pretty much what I had to say about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there'll always be like indie developers and stuff like that. I mean, I don't see how they're like, I mean, yeah, these hugely, you know, big expensive games will come out, but I mean, there'll still be that niche, you know, yeah, where that'll happen.
Those big games, basically look at EA as an example, right? Because they put out games that are solely like that, right? All it is every time you open up an EA game or turn it on, like, they try to make you feel like you just walked into the Coliseum. Like, it's this grandiose event. And, I mean, sometimes it can be. But you saw the commercial for the next generation Madden?
Yeah.
They made it out to be, like, the second coming. And
I think
cool.
Jesus is in that game,
yeah.
Actually.
He's a secret player.
He's unlockable.
Yeah, his player's
he's a running back.
He's on the All-Madden team. Anyway, so they try to make this huge presentation out of it, and oftentimes, like, they do that with all the James Bond games that they make, and they've all sucked. Every single one that EA has put out has been junk. And it's funny, because, like, now the EA owns the company that has the people who made the one good James Bond game, and they don't have them work on the James Bond game. But maybe they don't want to. I don't know. Time Splitters is good. But anyway, so, like, EA puts out these games that are all big and huge and look good, and with their big marketing budgets, they sell really well. And it's what pisses off all the gamers like me, because the games suck, but they sell well. And, you know, this whole modification, what was their racing game, Need for Speed Underground 1 and 2?
Yeah.
The whole game was about making your car look different. It had nothing to do with how you drive. It has nothing to do with
you got to spend money on your car to make it look
pretty.
You've
got to have purple lights on it.
Yeah,
that makes it go faster.
Yeah, and it's like, this is the epitome of the U.S. and why the industry is going where it is, because that's all we really care about. Like, speaking in generality, that's what the masses want. And it sucks to not be one of those masses, because then I'm unhappy, right? I'm not one of the people who's happy with the purple lights, so I get screwed.
I want pretty gameplay, but I also want something that's different. I like the new Splinter Cell, but it's not much, besides the co-op, there's not much difference between that and the one before it, and the one before that.
So you see what you do? You don't play the first one, kind of like me, and you play the second one sparingly, and then when the third one comes along, you're psyched about it.
Hey, yeah. There's a knife.
Yeah, I actually played the second one in the multiplayer quite a bit, and it was fantastic, but I never liked the one player of that game, because it just seemed too contrived. And in the third one, the Chaos Theory, I played it, and I really enjoyed it. So one time this guy walked right, I was right next to him, he walked right by me, but I was in the dark. I love how that game is full of complete darkness in all these different places, because it's so unrealistic. But he walked right by me, I could, like, smell his breath, and he didn't see me, so I was able to walk up behind him and kill him, and that was fun. All right, so this, what we were just talking about, rolls into what I want to say about Nintendo. Like, we're saying, okay, there's not going to be this innovation, or there's not going to be as much of this, the new quirkiness in games, and I think that's why Nintendo is doing what they're doing, right? We don't know what's happening in their next system.
Oh, no.
But, like I said at the top of the show, I bet it's not going to be a big technology leap. They're talking about funky peripherals, but they haven't told us what. They're talking about all these cool new options that you're going to have with their system that you don't have on other systems. And so that's what's going to happen. You're going to have these indie developers producing these quirky games for the Nintendo, which they'll probably be able to do more cheaply because when you're competing against, you know, other games on the same system, you're not going to have to make it as flashy as the Xbox game because it's a totally different idea.
Yep.
Although really that idea could carry over into Xbox, but you're going to have so much competition from the mass appeal games.
Yeah.
So Nintendo's going to be like the stepping stone for the fun games. It's going to be the true gamer's system, but we're still going to have to own either the Xbox 360 or the PS3 to have all those big games that we do want to play, even though they're number five in a series. Anyway, we might talk about this a little bit more. If you want to call and chat about it, 602-277-KFNX. We'll be right back.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Hello, everybody. We're back with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Nate's in the studio with me. Hi, Nate.
Hello. That's right. I'm right here.
I should hold the cue card next time. And of course, Tracy's there handling the board and the phones for all of us. If you want to give us a call, it's 602-277-KFNX locally, or check out our website, Chatterbox Game Show, for all the other info on the show, like time and toll-free phone number if you want to call. If you're like the editor of a magazine, you want to call in the show and chat with us, go for it, because we'd love to talk to you. Also want to remind you, if you're interested in getting into the video game industry, one way to do it is by going to the University of Advancing Technology. Check out uat.edu for everything you need to know on attending that school here in the Phoenix area. Okay, so we were talking about how the industry is getting bastardized and how I think this is one of the reasons Nintendo is sort of like changing directions and going with the revolution. To be a different kind of system. They haven't told us what yet.
Nintendo has never really been, you know, a company that really pushed graphics that much anyways.
Yeah,
you know?
They pushed funness.
Yeah.
Right? Which, to me, seems like the heart of gaming. Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What you want in your games. And so I'm very happy to see them do this because there's never been room for three systems, and it was sort of proven, a couple of times when Atari tried to enter mass gaming, right, and they failed with their Jaguar.
Yeah.
And
Neo Geo.
Yep. Well, that was different because it was priced poorly.
Great system though.
And really, that was just sort of to get the people who liked the video games in the arcade. I don't know.
It was an arcade system that it was just shrunk down to.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what their business model was with the Neo Geo, but you know, actually they stayed in business a lot better than a lot of other video game companies.
Yeah.
They're still around. They SNK Playmore US. It's the same company after like evading bankruptcy a million times or going bankrupt and then starting up again. And I don't know. That's them though. If you like Neo Geo stuff, it's all their stuff. Anyway, so there's not room for these three companies to really succeed, and so it was necessary for someone to be different if they wanted to be in it. And Nintendo, sort of like the father of the video gaming industry, at least as it exists today, because Atari just failed. Like, Nintendo started the resurgence and hasn't left. So I'm glad to see that they're going this route, which sort of has, like, the core ideal of gaming as their focus. I'm certainly excited to hear what they have to say at E3, but unfortunately, I have a feeling they won't tell us as much as we want to know. Like, the other companies are just coming clean. They're like, this is what it's all about. It's going to be here soon. Good luck, you know, keeping the drool off the floor.
But their systems are coming out within, wasn't like the Xbox, they were slating it for like November.
Xbox is this November, although they haven't told us how much money it's going to cost. PS3, there's discussion that it could be this year, but it won't happen. I'm guessing they'll try to have it out by March, which will probably have like a bunch of defective systems and a big release and not enough of them, and you'll finally be able to get it like come August of next year. But
see, that's what I'm saying. If you're gonna push it up and you're not gonna get it out before Christmas, wait until August, wait until the end of summer, and then release it.
See, I don't know, because it could take a lot of time for the system to mature. And like, historically, the games that come out, look at all the games that came out at the beginning of the life cycle of like at the launch for the PlayStation and the PlayStation 2, right? We look back at them now, we're like, wow, those games were crap. They were nothing. And so I wouldn't be unhappy at all to see the PS3 come out just a few months after the Xbox, which, by the way, means that when the Xbox 360 is still having issues with getting enough to the stores, you know, because anytime a new system comes out, there's never enough to buy, right? So PS3 could swoop in and say, hey, for all the people who still can't get the Xbox 360, we know you want a PS3 anyway. Look, we're more powerful. We've got all these companies behind us. Come buy us, right? Of course, then they're going to go into shortages. But then by the time Christmas rolls around, they'll have solid footing. And I prefer it that way. I don't like to see the companies rush out to get their games for Christmas. If they release the PS3 well before Christmas, it gives the companies with good ideas time to actually get them together and release them for Christmas. Which, no matter what, before your release date, you're always having this mad rush to finish your game. But I prefer to give them the time until Christmas instead of just until a launch date. That's just me.
No. I would say don't rush it, though, and have the crappy, because you're going to end up turning a lot of people off. If all you hear is bad things, a lot of people aren't going to want to go out and buy it.
Well, that's one thing I guarantee won't happen. No matter what, they're going to have big marketing and people convinced that even if the games suck, they're great. And that happens. It's another thing that happens at the beginning of the life cycle of the system. It comes out with games that later on you look at them and realize they sucked because of all the new stuff that they put out. But at the time, it was great. Battle Arena Toshinden was the biggest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
And Ridge Racer. Yeah, it was great. But now we look and we're like, oh, right, wait a minute.
Midnight Club was a good game.
Yeah, you like Midnight Club. Anyway, now another thing that PS3 might be doing, this is rumor so far, this isn't official, and I bet they're still not going to make it official, even if it is, by E3. But there's talk about a collaboration with Apple and iPod for the PS3. And
that would be smart.
Like, my immediate... Did you read about this, Nate?
A little bit, but right. Just like a byline.
My immediate reaction is that it's complete bull, because Apple, it's a pretty big deal for them to link up with anybody ever, right? They did link up with, like, BMW and all these new luxury cars to put their iPod in the system, but the PS3 having like an iPod dock or some way to link up with the iPod, that's like a pretty big stretch to me. That's two very, very major companies working together. But here's the thing, right? PS3 wants to deliver content from the web. They want to have videos and music downloads and all that junk because they love microtransactions just as much as Microsoft does. And having the Apple iPod in your PS3 means that Apple now gives people access to... because they're talking about putting iTunes in it as well. Apple now has the ability to give customers use of their iPod without owning a PC, right? They don't have to have a Macintosh or a PC. If they have their PS3, that's enough to go into iTunes, download all the music they want, after paying for it, of course, and have their iPod. And the iPod is sort of like the backbone of their business right now, at least when it comes to mass appeal.
Well, I don't really see... I mean, who that's going to buy an iPod doesn't own a PC? Maybe it's just...
Well, that's the thing. There's people who haven't bought it because they don't have a PC.
Oh, all right.
And so what might happen is that people have... But this rolls back to my point before, that you're not going to buy a system and go online with it if you don't already have a PC, because you're not going to have a router, right?
Exactly. I'm going to pay for cable internet service, but I'm not going to have a PC or a Mac.
So, I mean, maybe... Still, though, it would expand their audience.
I don't see how much, but maybe a little.
I'd like to see it happen. Plus, am convinced anyone who has these new systems already has a PC. But
plus, it's going to hurt Microsoft. Anything they can do to hurt Microsoft, I think Sony and Apple wants to do.
Yeah, well, Sony would want to do it just because having the iPod behind it instantly makes you better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in today's marketplace. I was, I came back from a trip to New York last week. That's why we had to rerun a show, because I was in New York, and there were more iPods there. Like, 80%, if I saw somebody listening to something, 80% of the time, it was an iPod. It was just absurd, the market penetration of iPods. So,
Was it an iPod, or just did they steal some of those white headphones?
No, it was a real iPod. Anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Stay tuned.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everybody. All right, I got to make sure I mention UAT.edu. If you want to get into the video game industry, you can do it by going to the University of Advanced Technology here in Tempe, Arizona, right near Phoenix. Now, I'm talking fast because... this is great. Nate went to the bathroom during break. I don't know where he went. He hasn't come back yet. But we've got Rob Smith, editor-in-chief of Official Xbox Magazine, in the studio. And this is why he wasn't here. He actually surprised us by driving out to Phoenix, Arizona to be on the show. I had no idea. So here he is. Rob, say hi to everybody.
Hello. I am Rob Smith. Thank you.
I'm so glad you could make it. And I'm sorry I sent that email to your PR rep.
Called me, and I was very upset, so I, Rob Smith, drove down here.
And I'm really happy to hear that. That's amazing. Now, I've got such a short time to cover all the questions I have for you, but let's get right
into
it.
Go ahead. Rob Smith can answer.
All right. So, since you are part of the Official Xbox Magazine, what sort of loyalties do you have to Microsoft? You might have heard on the radio driving out here that I sort of bashed Microsoft in their MTV special a little bit. What are you allowed to say, good or bad, about Microsoft?
Usually what I say, I run through a person up there, and they'll tell me what I can talk about.
Okay, so...
I, Rob Smith.
So if I ask you a question now, you have to call up your PR rep, Marie, and ask...
I might wing it here today. I forgot my cell phone.
Okay, good. So I can ask you some questions. All right, so what did you think about the MTV special that just aired?
It was pure joy, I, Rob Smith, would say. It culminated in the best possible thing that I, Rob Smith, could think.
Were you there at the debut?
If I was there, I might have died. It was that great.
Really? You would have been that
did
excited.
Did you see the killers? I mean, they were on the Xbox.
Man, that was amazing. I know I enjoyed it. And I'm not just trying to blow smoke up your butt. I loved it. I was saying that it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but, you know, I'm thinking about it again. And it was amazing.
Well, good.
Because it showed off people loving the new Xbox. It showed off the Ring of Light, which I think is fantastic. Microsoft, the nail on the head with the Ring of Light with this new Microsoft concept. It's
God
amazing.
Himself came down and showed them how to make that.
No golden PSP for God. He wants Xbox 360.
Microsoft.
All right. Now, is Microsoft going to have an official Xbox 360 magazine? Are you going to have demos for the 360?
Yes. Actually, it'll be debuting when it comes out.
In November.
That's right.
First issue?
Rob Smith, will actually be leaving the Official Xbox Magazine and doing the 360 one.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Guys, I don't know.
This is breaking news. No one knows this yet.
This is a first right here.
I'm thinking about playing the new Sounder.
Official Xbox 360 magazine.
You heard it here from me.
Rob Smith will be editor-in-chief of this new magazine. And that's amazing news. That sounds like a promotion to me.
Oh, take it however you want.
I think that's amazing. And really, I'm proud of you. So good job, because you've done good work and you earned it. Now, I know that there's sometimes, like, I'm in the media here. I do this video game radio show, and I know that there are times when there's no news to talk about. You know, right now it's E3. All this stuff is happening. We've got so much to talk about. But what happens when you have nothing to, like, do you just, you all sit in a room and what, review more games or talk about Pocket Lint? What do you do when a month comes by and there's nothing to talk about?
We usually just make stuff up.
Make stuff. See, now I've heard that, and that's a good way to go.
It is.
Give me an example. What's one of the things you made up?
That'll be coming out in November. That's not, I mean, we haven't really even started on it, but I mean, stuff will happen. We'll shoot something out eventually.
Okay, okay. So it's hard to tell what's true and what's not because...
Yeah, we try and be ambiguous when we say anything.
That way nobody can call you out for lying.
Exactly.
Okay, well, again, that's... You're brilliant.
Anybody, it's like, well, we didn't mean it that way, you know.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, what are you looking forward to most at this upcoming E3?
Probably, I'd have to say... Hold on. I gotta use the phone here.
All right. Now, I'm guessing it's Backyard Wrestling 3, There Goes the Planet. Have you played Backyard Wrestling 2, Tracy?
I can't say I've had the pleasure.
That's an Xbox 360 exclusive, Backyard Wrestling 3, one of the finest games to launch with the system.
Rob Smith is back. I had to make a phone call there. The most enjoyable thing is that Microsoft, the booth, will be there. Just anything Microsoft will be actually there. Xbox, you know, great. That too. And the booth babes. I say that. I'm a little fan of that.
Now, I heard that Age Tech, they're dissing booth babes this year.
The anti-booth babe.
The granny panties.
Yes.
I'm ready to get some granny panties, and then I'm going to bring it to the booth babes and have them autograph it.
Ooh.
I think that's a great idea, right? Autograph the granny panties?
Oh, very. All Rob right. Smith agrees.
Oh, very, right? Something that the grannies don't have. Hey-o! All right, so now... You're going to be working on this new Xbox 360 magazine. Maybe. Maybe not. Right?
For sure.
For sure. Oh, now it's a for
it's
sure.
It's for sure.
You got the confirmation on
that's
that.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Is that breaking news?
I would assume so.
Now,
okay.
And now, this KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 special report.
Take it away, Rob.
All right. Now, there is a question. I think one of the biggest things on people's mind right now is the price of this new system we were talking about. How we don't know what it's going to cost, but it's going to surely be a lot of money for this next system, and I hope that in the first issue of Xbox 360 Magazine, you guys talk about this. But since we have you on the radio right now, in this exclusive interview, can you tell me anything about it? What's the cost of the system going to be?
The price will be $29.99.
Oh my God, that's amazing! So that system's going to be fantastic! $3,000, you're saying?
It'll actually be powered by a small... Fission system.
A nuclear reactor
that's
in
right.
the Xbox 360.
That's right. It's so... That's why it's green. It's
that's,
so
That must be
powerful.
Why it's water-cooled.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought about that. So I won't need to plug it into the wall. It's going to be totally wireless.
Oh, yeah. It's very portable. You can actually bring along, like, an LSD monitor or television.
An
it'll
LSD
actually
monitor.
Power it through the Xbox because of this.
So I'll be able to bring it into my Ford Escape, or
exactly,
my Escalade, and have my Xbox 360, which could probably actually run the vehicle itself.
But will you be able to take it on a plane?
You know, the FCC probably wouldn't allow it.
We're not sure on that. We know it's good for vehicles.
But $29.99, that's amazing. All right, well, you heard it here, folks, first on this breaking KFNX news story here with Rob Smith, editor-in-chief of Official Xbox Magazine. Thank you, Rob, so much for coming in today.
Thank
We've
you
only
a
got
lot
a minute.
For having me, Rob Smith, here on your show.
I'm so glad you were able to make it, and to drive down here so fast like you did, it boggles my mind.
Well, it hurt that no one had informed me that I had an interview today here at Chatterbox.
Wow. Well, anyway, thank you. Thanks again so much for coming. I see that Nate finally came back. He made it back. I don't know... Nate, did you fall
hey,
in?
Hey, Rob, how's it going? No, I got locked in there. I lost the key thing, and I couldn't find it.
No, that's what the bathroom here, it's kind of sketchy, because it's outside the studio. It's not in the same part of the building.
Yeah, which is classy.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to get mugged every time I go out there.
Yeah, me too. All right, did you hear any of that interview over the loudspeaker?
We had Rob Smith. I heard a little bit of it. Man, he ran out of here, though. But,
yeah, he
man,
did.
It might that be was $3,000 for that thing. That's
but it's going to be worth it.
Oh, man, nuclear powered?
I'm not going to need to pay an electricity bill anymore because I'm going to have my Xbox doing everything.
God designed it? Come on. I'm spending $3,000.
It's amazing. It's got water in there. It's got atomic energy, the green ring of light. I'm amazed. And like I said, this is the first time you heard it. That has not been on any website or any press release from Microsoft. Chatterbox got an exclusive. So tell all your friends, everybody. You should be here next week when we have an interview with Bill Gates himself and his lovely wife.
I think his kids are coming in, too.
His wife is much lovelier than his children. All right. So anyway, E3, obviously, is here this week, and we're going to go to the show, and I'm going to get to see this Xbox 360, which is going to be fantastic. I wonder how people are going to react to this $3,000 price tag.
I've heard it's the hand of God, pretty much.
It is. And, I mean, at that price, you can't go wrong, because look at the value. It's not just home media anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything. Everything in one box. Everything you could dream of. And I know I'm excited about it. So forget about iPods and the PS3. Forget about the Nintendo Revolution and 3D projection glasses. We've got the new Microsoft system on the way. That's all I've got for today, though. I don't have anything else. I just want to say we're doing E3. If you're going to be down there, come say hi. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to come back. We're going to have a show next week. Same bat time, same bat place here on KFNX. It's going to be a great show. So make sure you check in with us next week. And we're going to have a couple of new shows up for podcasting tonight. So if you want to get that, you know, have it on your own computer, your own MP3 player, show it off to everybody you see at E3, you do that.
Show them the proof of the $3,000 price tag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Chatterbox exclusive.
Also, for folks out there, play Guild Wars. It's a good game.
Nate likes Guild Wars.
That's right. I'm addicted to that right now.
We only talk about consoles on this show usually.
I know. You need a PC person.
The irony here is that the first few weeks we started, we were talking about PC, and people were complaining that we talked about PC too much. Forget it. Hail Microsoft. We'll be back next week. See you, folks.